Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Josh Peek. How's everybody doing today? It's been kind of a interesting day today. Having lots of fun stuff done. This is episode 253 on Saturday, the 22nd of August, 2020. We've had lots of things going on. I worked out of town, out of Savannah for the last few days. And it's a beautiful city. I got to stay at the wonderful DoubleTree in the downtown historical district. It's a nice hotel. But I got a thing with hotels lately. I don't know what it is. Hotels all have these pillows. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but not everybody likes a pillow that squishes down to the size of a piece of paper. The pillows that a lot of people tend to use nowadays are these ones that are big and fluffy, and they look beautiful in the pictures, and I guess they're real easy to smooth out so that when the staff gets done, they can just shake it, and it looks all puffy and perfect for a picture. But as soon as your head hits the pillow, they disintegrate to nothing. And I literally used all four of these pillows to try to build up some kind of support on my head. Because otherwise, when you lay down, I mean, literally your head goes from the pillow and you can feel the mattress through the pillow. You're like, oh, that's it. And then it puffs up around your ears. It's like you got your head encapsulated in some kind of weird marshmallow type thing. And I don't dig that at all. I think that's really stupid. I had to go down there to work and I tried to make a YouTube video, which I uploaded a video, room review. If you guys want to check out the YouTube stuff. It's a nice place. It's very clean. That's one of the things about coronavirus is everywhere I've gone has been extra clean. Like even like truck stops, when you go in the bathroom, truck stops, usually in the past, the number one word that I would use is disgusting or neglect. I mean, but now, because of coronavirus, people are in there cleaning. They're taking an active role in making sure that the restrooms are clean, which is nice. I've actually stopped in some rest stops and it was clean. It had the smell of some kind of disinfectant. And I'm like, yay, that's a nice turn. I mean, who knew that it would take a coronavirus to get us to suddenly start cleaning the restrooms like they should be. But it is what it is. So, the hotel was clean. One of the things that I thought was really interesting was they apparently have some type of contract with Lysol, the company. On every door that I walked up to, there is a purple sticker that goes across your door frame to the door with a perforated thing in the middle so that when you open it, it breaks the seal. And on the seal, it says, your room has been disinfected using Lysol products, blah, 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 blah. I'm sure it's some kind of promotional thing that Lysol's done with the company, and that's probably why we can't find any Lysol in any stores, because they have this contract with Hilton Hotels, I'm guessing. Of course, I have nothing to base that on other than my assumption. But it was kind of nice to break the seal and walk into the room, and immediately the room smelled clean. Everything was clean. Everything looked like they had scrubbed. Usually the tub area is something that people tend to go over too quickly and they don't actually clean it, or the mirror. You'd be amazed at how many hotels I go into and I look in the mirror and you can see where they may have rubbed it twice. And then there's a lot of old splatter from people brushing their teeth and, you know, stuff like that. Everything was clean. Matter of fact, even the TV remote had its own little cellophane wrapper type thing that it was shoved into. And it says on the wrapper, it says, This remote has been disinfected and we sealed it with this. No hands actually touched it. And I was like, huh, that's kind of interesting. So I was happy with that. I was also happy with the fact that it had HBO. I hate watching TV with commercials nowadays. And honestly, there's really nothing worth watching. I mean, there's not. Unless you've got Netflix or Hulu or one of those, you know, streaming type services. You know, HBO's got some decent ones. With their HBO Max, I guess they're calling it now. And what is up with that? I mean, they went from HBO to HBO Go to HBO Now. Now they're HBO Max. Is that because they finally came out and said, okay, we actually own Cinemax and we're just going to, we're going to have one platform thing. You guys can download the thing and here you go. Is that why? Cause I'm not really sure. I'm just ballparking, asking a question. So anyway, the hotel had at least an HBO, not many of them, just one, but that's fine. Whatever. It's something I can turn on and not listen to commercials. Honestly, I just have the TV on for background noise at that point because I'm on my phone and I'm playing stupid little mini games and stuff like that just to keep me occupied with something other than the fact that I'm in a hotel and I'm not hanging out with my wife. You know, I mean, let's face it. I don't think anybody enjoys being in a hotel. There may be people out there that are like, "Ooh, boy, a hotel." I mean, I'm not one of those people. I like the fact that because I have to work out of town, that my company pays for the hotel. That's nice. And, you know, whenever prices are within range, I can kind of find a decent hotel to stay in. And that's another benefit of the coronavirus is there's not a lot of people staying in hotels, so the rates are really cheap. So I can stay in a nicer hotel and not have to stay at the one where the roaches are waving at you when you walk in the door. I mean, let's face it, that's a lot of hotels out there. It's like, you know, 3 out of 5 stars. It had a bed. It's like the reviews. but this, like I said, this DoubleTree was pretty. It was clean. Good water pressure in the shower. Not a real fan of the pillows. I like the fact that it was really close to one of my favorite pizza places. There is a pizza place in the historic district of downtown Savannah called Vinnie Van Gogh's, and they serve these giant New York slice pizzas. It's just like pizza I've had in New York. I mean, it's a big slice of pizza. Usually a slice will fill you up, but if you're really hungry, like I was, I ordered 2 slices because that's the kind of boy I am. I'm a big boy. I'm happy. Herbivore. So normally their place is on the corner of a historical thing where you can sit outside and or you can be inside, and the inside of the place is kind of hippie rock, you know, influenced. Lots of cool artwork in there, lots of tattooed people working behind the counter, people with funky colored hair and earrings in places, and you know, it's just one of those funky little places. And they had a sign up for a long time that says, "We take cash only. If you need cash, go down to the ATM down the way." Now, I'm not exactly sure why they've always had that policy, but I have an assumption. And just hear me out, but here's my assumption. I have worked as a vendor for Coke and Budweiser, and I have dealt with some customers who, let's just say, fall on hard times and maybe they can't make their bills. And so they go either on the Dave Ramsey plan and they're paying cash for everything, or they go the other route and they just don't claim a lot of stuff to the IRS. And they're like, "No, business is slow." Wink, wink. And they pay their people through cash and then nobody really claims any taxes. And then you just kind of look the other way and don't say nothing. Or you're like the Ozarks and you pay cash because you don't want to claim anything to anybody. You're just like, "Nah, man, we're a failing business. We need help." I don't know what their particular was. I don't know if it was because the technology to get the ability to pay with credit cards was just expensive. I mean, I've heard people say that it's like a monthly fee that they have to have in order to do that. Maybe it was a way of saving money. I don't really know. All I can tell you is they have the best pizza in Savannah. Now, that's for me. That's, listen, this is preference. This is personal preference. It has nothing to do with some kind of scientific study. And I didn't go around to every other pizza place in the area and go, "This one's okay, but this one's better." I'm just saying it reminds me of real New York pizza, basically because of the size of the slice that you get and how crispy the outside of the crust can get. It's phenomenal, just phenomenal. And you can get them by the slice or you can get a big regular pizza. Now, in the past, I've gone down there and I've always gotten a slice. The last time I went down there, I got a, I think I ordered a medium and I took it back to the room, and there really wasn't, it wasn't worth getting the full pie because 2 slices is like a medium pizza. I mean, when they make a medium pizza, they just make one that you can take home. That's about yay big. A slice is about that big. I mean, you get two slices and it's the same. I didn't do the math, but it's probably the same coverage as two slices. And it's phenomenal. I think I paid like $10 for two slices with two toppings. Okay, that sounds expensive. But when you look at the slices and you go, holy cow, I don't know if I can eat all that. Wow. Then you go, okay, it's worth it. Yeah. So luckily I was in walking distance from Doubletree. I could literally walk out of the parking garage and make a beeline and you could see the place and I could walk right up to it, order my stuff. Well, now because of coronavirus, here's the new change. They actually have like a plexiglass window type thing where you can order and you could call ahead and order and they take credit cards now. So one of the new things is you can order online and pay online and then just come and pick it up. You could be like, are you Josh? And you'd be like, hey, I'm Josh. Okay, here's your pizza. I mean, cool. I mean, that's a cool thing. One of the drawbacks always with going there was the fact that I always had to go find some cash because I don't normally carry a lot of cash on me. And especially if I went with, you know, people and everybody wanted to get pizza, it's like, all right, we gotta go to an ATM. This makes it a lot easier because let's face it, nowadays, everyone's claiming that they have a money shortage and, oh, the banks are out of money and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. So apparently they innovated and they got up with the times and now you can just use a card. I didn't use a card because I actually brought cash because I assumed they wouldn't be able to have that kind of ability. And so, yeah, whatever. I just used it to get it out of my pocket at that point. I'm just like, I don't want to carry this cash around. Here, let me go ahead and pay cash for this, which they have no problem doing still. But anywho, if you're in Savannah, I highly recommend Vinnie Van Gogh's. Back to the hotel. Okay, so Doubletree. I'm in the hotel. Like I said, I got HBO. I'm able to watch some stuff. And I turn on the TV and right away, Aquaman is on, which I think is the worst superhero movie ever made. If you don't think it's terrible, you should watch it with me and let me ad lib all the comments of things that I see with chafing, how hokey a lot of it is, how, I don't know, there's a lot of Little Mermaid references that are made. You just gotta, I don't know, watch it through my lens. And it's actually a comedy. I don't know if you guys know that, but the whole movie is a comedy. At least it is when you watch it with me. So I watched it and this would be the second time that I've watched it and it is terrible. And when I watched it the second time, I could pick out more and more flaws of things that were just stupid. And I was like, golly, I can't believe this stupid movie was a success. People actually like this crap. It is terrible. Aquaman sucks. Listen, I used to watch Super Friends when I was a kid, you know, Saturday morning cartoons, and Aquaman was kind of the dorkiest of the group. Even Big Bang Theory talks about it when Raj had to dress up as Aquaman. Dude, Aquaman sucks, he would say. Yeah, Aquaman sucks, okay? He just sucks. And they try to make him cool because they got Jason Momoa, and Jason Momoa is cool. And that's where the cool ends, is the fact that he gets to dress up at the end in the sparkly outfit, and he's, you know, he looks like Jason Momoa, so he's a... He looks like a god, you know, and he's like, I'm wearing the fish suit. I'm sure he's laughing his way all the way to the bank. You know, he's probably thinking, I can't believe I get to play this guy and you're paying me this much money. Holy crap, this is a bad movie. And listen, not to take anything away from Jason Momoa, but he is never going to be known as a class A actor. Okay. You're never going to see him on the screen and forget you're watching him. But he's not that guy. He's going to play his part. Okay. It's like watching The Rock. The Rock's fun to watch, but The Rock is not going to be like, wow, he deserves an Academy Award. What a performance. I mean, at least The Rock gets the joke about himself and he'll break character once in a while and laugh at the screen or look at the screen or intentionally do like a pose, like in Jumanji. I mean, he's having fun with it. I don't know if Jason Momoa is having fun with it. I think he's just kind of going through the thing and like, yeah, I'm Aquaman. Yeah. I mean, maybe he's got a hype crew behind him, like massages his shoulders and like, you're the Aquaman, man. You're doing it. He's like, yeah, I am. Here, feather my hair back some more. This is really cool. If I was Jason Momoa, I would like stare at myself in the mirror a lot. I'd be like, I'd be looking at my eyes. I'd be looking at my muscles. I'd be flexing all the time. Of course, that's silly. No one does that. Anywho, back to the hotel. Why do you guys keep distracting me? I was talking about the hotel. So anyway, the hotel. I get all set up in the hotel. I turn on TV. Aquaman's on TV. And I'm like, all right, this is something to have on. And I'm playing stupid video game on my phone. And I'm, you know, touching base with people at work to find out the big day for the next day. And, you know, get my uniform ready and planning to get some dinner. I go down and get some pizza, bring it back to the room. And Aquaman, thankfully, is off TV. And I'm watching some kind of real sports thing. And it's a lot about the Black Lives Matter movement and people that took a knee and how this one guy in particular who played baseball, I think for the A's, was ridiculed when he did it. And he got into a serious bout of depression. He tried to kill himself at a certain point. He went and got some rehab. He ended up going down to play baseball in Mexico and sort of revitalized his career and came back to play. I think he's playing for the Mets now. Great story. I forget the guy's name. Sorry. I know it's disrespectful not to know the dude's story because you guys, whatever. This is stuff I heard, not stuff I know. That's a different channel. If you turn your dial three clicks to the right, that's going to be them. So you just, if you want to do that, I understand. I mean, but whatever. This is for entertainment purposes only. So anyway, this guy, I didn't know. Like when Colin Kaepernick took a knee, you know, I've talked about it on this podcast. I've talked about it in at length with my friends about how I didn't agree with what he was doing, about the fact that I just didn't feel that the gesture was going to get the point across that he wanted and it was going to hurt him. And it did. But I did talk about how I felt it was going to be very engaging because it interrupted everybody's life in a way that they would have to have a conversation that was needed. And so maybe it was effective. Maybe that was the spin I was supposed to look at. And, you know, you fast forward time and you get to what we've had here recently and the conversations come up again. And again, it's the conversation of, you know, maybe this is a point that taking a knee does say something without really saying anything. I mean, you're not verbally going to the camera every time the camera's on you and saying something, but the gesture is getting the point across. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I've changed my mind on this. Like, this is something I was against in the beginning, and now I'm like, this is a good thing. I mean, this is actually important. And maybe it has something to do with Trump being president. I don't know. I mean, a lot of things get blamed on Trump. Maybe this has to do with Trump being president. Maybe it has to do with the fact that there's these people out there called the Proud Boys. Is that what they're called? Or Antifa? I don't even know. I don't even know who Proud Boys or Antifa really is. I'll be honest. I don't really know. It's outside of my wheelhouse. I spend a lot of time working, so I don't have time to catch up with what's the cool trend or who's the bad guy in a situation. And then you start looking into who's the bad guy and people talk about, oh, well, they're actually fighting for this. And you don't know who, what the purposes are of some people. And you're like, is this your interpretation of it? Or is this what's really going on? Cause I don't get it. Like, I'm sorry, but I work too many hours to really get involved with that kind of stuff. I really don't. I said something like that before years ago, when these, you could tell these soft, squishy college kids up in, I think, Virginia had, I guess, gotten together and somehow pulled down a statue of General Lee, and they were all taking turns kicking it with their Birkenstocks. And I thought, what? I mean, this was like during the week. It wasn't like a weekend. It wasn't the weeknight. It was just randomly this thing. And I was like, what are you trying to accomplish? And also, like, all you guys are college kids. You're in college. I can tell. You all have your favorite university shirts on and you're white people with Birkenstocks and you're trying to make a statement because someone has a camera on you. And I think I said something to the effect of, doesn't these kids need to be at school or work or something? I mean, it seems like they could do something more with their time than assault a statue. I didn't get it. Like I said, I'm out of touch. I'm an old fuddy-duddy. I'm in my 40s, man. I don't know what's cool. Is it cool now to topple statues? I don't know. Apparently it's a thing that went around this year. But back then, this was a couple of years ago, I think the reference to that was, you know, snowflakes. Oh, look at the snowflakes hurting a statue. Like, really? That's going to, you're not hurting anything. Like, you're damaging personal property from someone. I don't know who. Of course, I didn't know anything. Like, I was an idiot. And I have listened to a lot of podcasts since that have talked about this statue thing. And apparently a lot of these statues were made very cheaply. They're made of bronze. They were done like after the, what is it? The thing in 65, where they allowed blacks to vote and participate and all this stuff. I forget what it's called. God, I'm such an idiot sometimes. I blame beer and 46 years of hard work. not that I've worked every year hard, but you know, you get what I'm saying. Segregation. That's it. Duh. God, sometimes the words are hard to come by. So anyway, after segregation, like apparently a lot of states, especially in the South, were like, you know, we don't agree with this and we're going to take a stand and we're going to do this as a big F you to everybody else. And I mean, some states put the Confederate flag on their courthouse, South Carolina. Some put it on their state flag, Georgia, Mississippi. But it was sort of a, we don't want to do this, but we were made to do this. So we're at least going to do this so that you people, like quote unquote, you people will know where we stand. And it's like, what the hell? Wrong with people. I mean, I don't even know the point of what I'm saying anymore. So anyway, I went to Vinnie Van Gogh's from the hotel and there are statues of Confederate soldiers. Like as you're eating pizza, you look over and there's statues of Confederate soldiers. And I was like, well, with all the protests, why didn't somebody tear those down? I mean, apparently tearing down statues is like the cool thing to do or something. I don't know. But nobody was. They were using the park as a park. There were street vendors out selling little trinkets and stuff like that. And there were kids out playing and a lot of people wearing masks, which is good. Everybody's trying to be safe. So that was on TV. And anyway, they talked about the Black Lives Matter movement and they talked about this guy and then they talked a little bit about Colin Kaepernick, and the whole time I'm watching it, I'm thinking, this is called Real Sports on HBO. You guys haven't mentioned really sports at all. Like this is all politics. The whole show is politics. And I remembered that I had heard somewhere on a podcast that ESPN was losing like 1 million viewers a month for a long time because they were doing a lot of this political talk on their sports channel, and people who would like to watch sports were like, I don't want to watch this, and they were turning it off. And it's kind of weird. I don't know if it's because Disney owns them that they felt they had a responsibility to say something on a regular basis. It's like we have a moral obligation to be a part of this movement in America and to say, you know, okay, yeah, there's part of that, I guess. But like you're known to be the sports channel and you're not really showing sports. I mean, maybe it has to do with a contract issue. I know a lot of people go through these contracts with like football and baseball and soccer and so on and so forth. And sometimes you sign a contract with the channel and that's all you can show to that channel. And you sort of disallow others to do it. For a long time, ESPN, I heard this on a podcast, ESPN got away with showing everybody's sports because at the time, nobody thought anybody wanted to watch sports on TV as much as a cable channel. And so they were literally getting free content from all over the globe to broadcast on their channel. And it wasn't until someone paid attention to the numbers, they realized, oh crap, we're missing out on advertising dollars. Like we could have that on our channel. And I think the big four were the ones that got on board first, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, especially Fox. I remember there was a bidding war for NASCAR when NASCAR was at its peak. And Fox won out the contract because they were like, this is an investment. This is going to make us. And they weren't wrong. It really was a good move for them. But you hear about it every year that football's on TV about different channels that try to, you know, weigh in and put their money's worth towards getting the contract for a certain league or, you know, like the SEC is real big down here in the South. You know, if you were out West, it might be the Pac. Texas, actually the Longhorns have their own channel now because Texas sports are so big. They're like, hey, we can do this without all y'all. We can just have our own thing, sell our own advertising space and show all Texas sports on this channel. And I think that's really the future of sports is each school is going to end up having their own channel and you'll order your sports a la carte, however you want. If you want to watch your team, you pay a price. And then that's your fee for monthly fee to watch your team, whether it's baseball, badminton, diving, football, you name it, you're going to watch it on that channel. And then you get to watch all the games, which is great. I mean, but it's going to turn into that at some point. Now, right now we're in the middle of a pandemic and sports are kind of, they're figuring it out. They're trying to figure out how to social distance the proper way. The second part to this real sports thing that I watched in the hotel was that went off and then real sports went off. And then they had this Hard Knock show where they were, you know, looking at two different teams and how they were getting ready during coronavirus for a season, even if it's an abbreviated season, which I've heard people say that they were probably going to do. They're getting ready and they're wearing masks and they're being tested and they're trying to be healthy and everything is set up more for social distancing, which is kind of funny because this is a contact sport. And when it comes time to play the games, like they're kind of contact each other a lot. So they sort of have to be in a bubble of sorts, even though they're traveling to play each other. You know, the NBA has done this pretty good with creating this bubble type environment where they basically live in these hotel areas of, I guess, Disney is doing it. And, you know, they kind of stay quarantined. They only hang out with each other. They, you know, play basketball. I mean, I don't know. It's so strange. It's very, very strange. Back to the hotel. Why do you guys keep distracting me about talking about the hotel? So back to the hotel. The hotel, it's time to go to bed, you know, whatever. I watched some movie on TV that's may have been a movie I've seen 100 times. I was pretty sleepy, so I even went to bed before I was planning on going to bed. I mean, I woke up like 30 minutes later and the TV was watching me. I was like, turn the TV off. So I always bring with me a little portable Bluetooth speaker and I have an app on my phone that creates the sound of rain. Now that helps me sleep. Years ago, I used to have a fan with me and then the fan got to where it wasn't making enough noise and I had to have another fan and that wasn't making enough noise. So then I had 3 fans. And before you knew it, I had a whole anti-M situation going on where it's a twister, you know, the Wizard of Oz. And we'd wake up in the morning and we'd be, you know, all snotty from the debris flying around in the air and clogging up our sinuses and stuff like that. Not only that, but it was kind of a waste of electricity having 3 fans going at the same time just so you could have some kind of white noise to go to sleep. Well, this app thing that I use works great. I just Bluetooth it through the speaker. It drowns out all the hotel noise, all the noise from the city, and I've used it in a lot of places. I'm sure my friends can tell you that I've brought it with me when we've gone out of town. And I'll turn that thing on and it's like, I'm out. Like you can snore. I'm not going to hear you. So that's my go-to. Before I could turn it on though, I heard motorcycles racing down the main street of Savannah, the whole historical district, just, just as fast as they could go, hauling butt. And I don't know, maybe 5 minutes later, I hear a police siren and the cops going after him, I guess, or he's going after another accident. But he's hauling butt. Whoa! And you hear the sirens going. You're like, okay, it's 35 miles an hour down there. What's going on? Like, seriously, this is like 11 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night. Why are you guys, what's going on down there? So, I turn on the rain. I'm able to sleep, sort of. The pillows are really bothering me at this point. The covers are nice. Everything's nice about it, but the pillows are awful. Now, I've mentioned this to my wife, and she's like, why don't you just carry your pillow with you? That creates its own sort of problems, okay? I'm in a company vehicle. They don't exactly clean it good enough for me to put my pillow in there. I really would rather it not get in the car. I mean, people sit in the car a lot, and they're usually sweaty or dirty, and I don't want my pillow getting all nasty. And she's like, you could take an extra pillowcase, and then when you get to the room, and already at that point, my brain's going, nope, checked out, sorry. I'll just deal with the angry pillows, and I'll fight them all night, which is kind of what I did. I fought four pillows, woke up, I don't know, eight times the first night, and constantly looked at the clock going, is it time yet? Is it time yet? Is it time yet? See, that's one of the things about when you're expecting to do something on the next day. Well, for me personally, it's kind of what I do is I worry that I've overslept. So I wake up a lot and I look at the clock and I'm constantly fretting about the clock. But anyway, so time came, got up the next morning. The room's comfortable. The air conditioning was comfortable. Everything seemed comfortable. They were telling me that they were suspending their cleaning until you leave, since you're only there two nights. You know, they're like, if you need an extra, you know, whatever, towels or anything, just let us know. We'll drop them off at the door. We're doing a no-touch thing. And I was like, hey, I totally get it. But I didn't need that. But I made sure to leave the do not disturb sign on the door because I just don't want them in there. I mean, I'm usually, even before coronavirus, I would do that. I'd just rather you not come in my room. I mean, why do you need to be there? I may have stuff, you know, laid out for the next day. I may have a light on or the TV on to make it sound like somebody's in there just so you'll not bother the room. I didn't do that this time, but, you know, I've done that in the past. Had my work day, came back to the room, and kind of did the same thing that evening, except I got to watch a really, really good movie on HBO that I have not watched. It's an older movie. It's called Crash. I'm sure a lot of you have seen it before. It's a star-studded cast. Almost every scene, you're going to have more than one person that is an A-list actor that you're going to be like, holy crap, I didn't know this guy was in it. Holy crap, I didn't know she was in it. I mean, it's incredible. Brendan Fraser, Sandra Bullock, Ludacris, Tony Danza, Ryan Phillippe. God, there's a bunch of people. Matt Dillon. A lot of names I don't know. But if you watch it, like each time you see him on the screen, you'd be like, I know that person. I know that person. But it's a great story. It's called Crash. Came out a bunch of years ago. I forget how long ago, but I've heard about it being talked about on podcasts about how good it was. Don Cheadle's in it. I keep coming up with names in my head of people I saw. But a lot of things happen with these people and their lives are intertwined somehow. It's almost a tapestry type movie of interweavings of people's lives and how they all at some point seem like a really good person and another time seem like a really horrible person. And it's just interesting. Terrence Howard's in it too. And the girl from Westworld, I forget her name. Anyway, great movie. I was blown away by it. I was like, this is really fantastic. So if you haven't watched Crash, I highly recommend going and watching Crash. I did listen to a bunch of podcasts on the way down there and the way back. I listened to Bill Burt. I listened to Two Bears, One Cave. Apparently, Leanne Kreischer had some kind of incident where she passed out. Burt's on this Hot Summer Nights tour, and he just wrapped it up for this leg of the tour. He was in Cleveland, Ohio, and she apparently passed out and fell on her face. And her teeth went through her lip. They took her to the hospital. They had her tested for a bunch of stuff. They thought it might have been a stroke or an aneurysm or some type of heart arrhythmia. I listened to him talk about it on both podcasts and on something that he did with another guy. I forget who. Anyway, they talked about it. And oh, for his intro, he did an intro with Greg, his podcast, The Birdcast, with Greg Warren. He talks about it and he's like, you know, they kept her overnight. Do I need to leave the tour? Do I need to come home? So no, everything's fine. Everything's fine. So as of that point, I don't really know why it happened or what happened. The 20th was her birthday. She turned 50 and, you know, during coronavirus, it was this big thing about they wanted to get together with friends and it all kind of fell apart and they weren't able to get together like they wanted to. But you know, this happens and then it's like, what's going on? Jeez, are you okay? Like, you know, I credit Leanne with giving me the idea to do the podcast because she's the one that introduced me to Anchor. Now I talk about Anchor on the little intro read that's in the middle of every one of my podcasts, but seriously, like if it wasn't for her, I still wouldn't have a podcast. If she hadn't mentioned it on her podcast, I wouldn't have downloaded the app and I wouldn't be talking to you. I'm 253 episodes in. When I say that the Kreischers are an investment in my life, like I'm being legit. Like he is my favorite comedian and podcaster, and she's one of my favorite people to follow. Their relationship is really good. She was on Christina Pajinski's podcast, Where My Mom's At. She's been a regular on there, and it was a great interview that they did together. I highly recommend checking that out. But, you know, I'm invested. Like when something happens, it's like, oh God, are you okay? You know, I want to reach out as a fan, as a, I'm not really their friend, but if I keep this podcast going, maybe one day I will. Hey, Bert, hey, Leanne, if you guys are watching, big fan. but anywho, so I listen to other podcasts too. Time Suck is always a go-to. I can listen to lots of Time Suck on a long trip because his episodes are like 2.5 hours long and they go pretty quickly, especially the really good ones. I'll give you an example. I listened to this Cult of Tony and Suzanne Alamo. I kind of remember this. They were scam artists who created this Alamo Christian Foundation, and they would come on TV and you know, he would sing and she would sing. And this story is crazy. These guys are scam artists. They've created this cult type thing that's real similar to Scientology in a lot of ways, except Mr. Tony got into pedophilia and what's the thing with multiple wives, except that it's like teenage kids and as young as 8 years old, he married polygamy. Yeah, polygamy and pedophilia. Creepy dude. Creepy dude. And his wife was no better. She was awful. This is one of those bat crazy stories that you hear that you're like, this can't be real. I highly recommend checking out Time Suck, The Cult of Tony and Suzanne Alamo. Really crazy. Then I listened to, the next episode was BSU, the FBI Serial Catcher Unit, BSU Behavioral Science Unit. They talk a lot about a lot of their cases, how they came across, you know, doing the work that they do, how the show Mindhunter is based on one of the characters' books, that he was one of the guys that coined the phrase serial killer, or he was the guy that coined the phrase serial killer. They talk about them studying Ed Kemper, Ted Bundy, John Wayne Gacy, Jeffrey Dahmer, and others. Really interesting podcast about the FBI, about what it takes to do the job, what the job really is, and now Hollywood kind of screws it up in a lot of ways. That's fascinating. And then the next episode was Skinwalker Ranch. Apparently there's this place out in northern Utah that's called Skinwalker Ranch where people claim they've seen aliens and butterized dogs. You gotta listen to it, man. It's nuts. Just to hear what butterized dogs is is insane. I listened to the Burtcast. He had an episode with Kyle Kinane, and then he did one with Ron Funches and with Greg Warren. Now, the one with Greg Warren, he mentions that he's shooting some kind of TV show or movie. I think it's a movie in Macon for a month. And he's like, while I'm there, I'm probably going to try to hit up an open mic at some point and do some comedy. And apparently my buddy Greg listened to it, and Greg was like, dude, we need to do something and go see him in Macon. And I'm like, I'm in. Count me in. Always count me in, Greg. I'm your Huckleberry. Speaking of Greg, Greg has been doing a few podcasts on his 5 and 40 podcast. He did one on the 11th called We're Back. I think I talked about it before. But then he came out with one this past Friday, episode 12. It's a really good one. It's called 5 and 40 because he normally does five subjects in 40 minutes. But he goes an hour and 12 minutes into this, and it's great. It's his best one yet. And I told him, I said, you don't have to stick to that format. You can do whatever you want. Literally, it's yours to do with. It's your baby. Like, you can go 4 hours. You can go 5 hours. You can do whatever you want. Just tell people, be like, yeah, that's what it is. And I try to tell them, you know, there's a lot of big podcasters out there that maybe have a name in their title of how they started their podcast, and then they just sort of morph it into whatever they want. Like Bill Burr has the Monday Morning Podcast. And his idea was, I go out and I do comedy all weekend, and then I'll do the Monday Morning Podcast. I can talk about things we did. I can talk to people. I can tell you about what's going on, you know, with football, because he likes to watch football. You know, I can talk about sports and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, sometimes he wouldn't get around to doing it till Tuesday or Wednesday. And people would be like, hey, man, I thought this was the Monday Morning Podcast. He's like, hey, how about shut up? This is my podcast. I can do whatever I want. Like, this is free, man. You're lucky you get anything from me. It's kind of how Bill is. But Bill's right. He's like, I'm doing this for nothing. Like, you guys get to enjoy this for nothing. Just enjoy it. Say thank you. You know, and he's not wrong. So Joe Rogan, you guys know I'm a Joe Rogan fan, right? Joe Rogan had Ron Funches on. They talked a lot about Ron losing over 130 pounds and taking care of his son, who's autistic, and how his son is now 17 and he's, you know, trying to help his son learn to be self-sufficient. And they talk a lot about comedy. They talk a lot about weight loss. They talk a lot about getting out of your own way sometimes and changing your own direction. And it's really motivating to listen to. Ron has his own podcast, that I can't think of the name of. Maybe I could see it in the notes. I got my phone here. I'm looking at show notes. Yes, his podcast is called Getting Better. Getting Better with Ron Funches. And there's a tie-in to Bert with Ron. Bert's engineer, his young Jamie, if you will, is a guy named Halston. And Halston does the soundboard engineer stuff for Ron Funches. So, kind of a neat tie-in together. I'm kind of a fan. I don't know if you guys know that. I don't know if I spoke about it, but Joe had a podcast with Joey Diaz and Brian Redband on his birthday, which apparently aired on the 12th of August. They did almost 4 hours, and they talked a lot about the fact that Joe's moving to Austin, Texas. Joey's moving back to the New Jersey area. I think Red Band's moving. I've heard Bert talk about the fact that, Ari Shaffir's moving. A lot of comedians are moving either from Los Angeles or New York just to get away from these epicenters of coronavirus, where the people who are governing the areas are really freaking out and they're shutting down everything. Like California right now, apparently they're still not opening barbershops and beauticians, and restaurants are not opening to public. There's a lot of things that are not open to the public, and their numbers are not changing. I heard Greg talk about this on 5 and 40 podcast, how California and Georgia sort of attacked this in two different ways. California regulated more, Georgia opened things up. Both of them had a spike, but for different reasons. But he's like, neither one are in the top category for states that are most affected. He's like, New Jersey and New York are the most affected. And he talked about number of deaths per million people and how they were both very low compared to New Jersey and New York. I think he said the numbers were something crazy, like 36,000 per million in New Jersey and New York versus like 1,400 in Florida and California. Really, really different numbers. Yet you keep hearing about how Florida is this hot spot. And he's like, not really, because the survival rate is actually pretty high. It's a great podcast. You got to check out 5 and 40. Last night, I watched Joe on YouTube. He did a podcast with Whitney Cummings and Annie Lieberman. Now, there's two different Annie Liebermans out there. There's one that's a comedian and one that's a some kind of political talk person. This is the comedian one, okay? And Whitney's colored her hair a bright purplish pink, which I am a little bit envious of. I did that a lot when I was younger. When I got out of high school and I had a job working at a hospital, I was working in the warehouse of a hospital, I realized that I was kind of left alone a lot. I could wear scrubs and, I mean, I could kind of do whatever. No one really cared about my personal appearance. And I think I showed up at my buddy Treadaway's house one day when Stone Temple Pilots was in their hype days and Scott Weiland had his crazy fuchsia colored hair and I had clippers and a bag of hair products in my hand. And I go, "Hey, you want to do something fun?" And he goes, "What are we doing?" I was like, "I want to cut my hair really short and color it. I want to color it and then cut it short." And he's like, "Okay." And he helped me. And I had crazy weird colored hair for a long time. I actually don't have any photos of it. This is before digital cameras were out. So a lot of the personal photos that were out there, I think, have been destroyed or just lost over time. But I had colored hair for a long time that was, you know, purple and pink and white and fuchsia and you name it. It was bright. Well, Whitney's gone this way and it's like a pinkish, purplish looking color. But I'm watching Joe and Whitney, two of the monolithic figures in comedy, both self-made millionaires, have a conversation with Annie Lieberman, who apparently is, she's financially strapped right now. She's getting her sea legs under her. She's just starting out, I guess you'd say. And I really wanted to hear something from both of them about this exodus out of California. And they talk about it a little bit. I don't know if Whitney's going to leave, even though she does a lot of movies and stuff like that and kind of needs to be around Hollywood. She may or may not leave. I mean, in honesty, I mean, nowadays you can make content from pretty much anywhere. And she's such a powerhouse in her own right. I could see her being like, you know what? Maybe it is the right move to leave. Why not? I mean, I looked up her net worth while they were doing the conversation, doing the podcast, and she's worth $30 million according to Google. They had Joe listed as net worth of $100 million. He's worth more than $100 million. He's worth like $25 million before this thing happened with the $100 million deal that he did with Spotify. Of course, he may have given a good chunk of that to young Jamie Vernon and whatnot. You know, I was also curious about that. What does Jamie make? Like, I looked it up online. If you ask Google, like, what does Jamie Vernon make per year, or what's his, you know, there's not a lot of information about him, but it does say that they estimate that he makes about $150,000 a year, which makes sense. Like, if Joe's making, you know, $1.5 million a year from his podcast and his comedy, then 10% we would think would go to Jamie, right? Because he's doing all the legwork of making the podcast happen. And he's in there all the time, like day or night, whenever they're doing it. He's like, you know, he kind of sort of has to drop everything and be there. And so I don't think it works that way. They probably schedule it. They probably talk to each other and like, hey, let's get together and da da da. So he has a schedule. But like when Joe signed $100 million deal, does he then go to Jamie and say, hey man, you've been a big part of this? I mean, I see Joe being sort of that kind of guy. I don't know if he did or not, or I don't know if this is even part of the context or part of the conversation. And no one will probably ever talk about it because that's the kind of people that Joe surrounds himself with, is people who just, they do whatever. He doesn't want any praise. He doesn't want any kind of comments about it. He just wants to do his thing. But I'm assuming 10%. So if Joe signs a $100 million deal, Jamie gets 10. Is that how that works? I mean, it doesn't change what their monthly is. You know, they're still getting viewership. They're still getting sponsorships. They're still raking in the dough as far as that goes. This is like a over the top deal. This is a sign on with us deal. This is an exclusivity deal. It doesn't have anything to do with their regular per month deal. So I'm kind of wondering what Jamie got paid. I know that's kind of weird to say, but dude, what do you make? What does Halston make? Halston's doing two podcasts. He mentioned the fact that once he started doing the second podcast, he could quit his job delivering pizzas. And I was like, okay, well, what do you get paid? I mean, not that I need to know your business, but I'm just kind of curious, you know, how much financially are people paying their sound engineers? I mean, I'm doing it all myself, so I get paid nothing. I should pay myself as an employee. You know, that should be a tax write-off. Entertainment got paid this much. Production got paid this much. Marketing got paid this much. Producer got paid this much. The director got paid this, you know, make an itemized list. And then I'm just the guy that does it all. Cause that's what I do. I do it all. maybe it'd be a way to deficit fund this in a way that I can afford to buy some different cameras and whatnot. But also I don't know what I'm doing. Like I'm just a dude. I've shown you guys how I built a stupid table because I needed a table. I didn't have the money to go buy a table. So I just built a table. I needed a chair. So I built the chair I'm sitting in. Didn't know anything about how to build a chair. I just built a chair. It works. I'm still sitting in it. Still comfortable. I mean, I've done a 5-hour podcast in this chair. It's comfortable. I did good. Yay me. So anywho, I would love to have a conversation with somebody out there who's doing some sound engineering stuff. And like, what is the going rate? Give me an idea. If you know anybody doing it, please reach out to me. Let me know. You can find me on the website, www.stuffiheard.com. You can go through the links. There's a contact page on there. You can reach out to me on Facebook, Stuff I Heard, Instagram, Stuff I Heard Podcast, YouTube, YouTube, Joshua Peak. You can find me. It's all on there. Or just type in Stuff I Heard. It's going to come up somewhere. There's lots of places to find me. But if you're an engineer and you're doing the job, or you know somebody who's an engineer doing the job, kind of give me a rate. Like what's it, what do you charge? What should I be charging if I go in the future to hire somebody? I mean, right now this is not big enough to do that, but let's just say this fast forwards to being something bigger in the future. What could it be? Like if things are led with a carrot and a stick, like show me the carrot, show me what to chase. That's one of the things Bert talked about. He's like, his wife turned 50 and he talked about getting her a new car. And he's like, I feel bad about, you know, wanting to get a new car during this. He's like, but I can afford a new car. He goes, but I feel like a jerk if I go out and get a new car and then I'm pulling up at the store, you know, when things open back up and these new comics see me pulling up in a nice car and they're like, oh, I can't even afford to buy food. And here you are buying a nice luxury car. And he's had this conversation with several people. And Bill Burr was the guy that pointed it out. And he said, no, he said, do it, because that's the kind of guy, that's the kind of thing that you do to inspire young comics to do better. When you start living your best life, you're just inspiring them to want to do better. And honestly, he's right. That's the kind of thing that makes me want to do better. You know, seeing, you know, I've gone the full gamut with watching Burt as a comedian, where he had the show on Travel Channel, you know, doing Trip Flip, And then he had the Hurt Burt show, or Burt the Conqueror show, and got dropped from Travel Channel the same time that this tour thing that he had planned with Oddball got canceled. And he was like, God, what do I do? I'm worried. Like, this could be it. And he pivoted and he leaned heavy into the podcast and he bought extra equipment. He got Halston hired on to be an engineer and he started just doing heavy content with doing the podcast, and it took off and it became something that paid his bills. Okay, that's inspirational. That's the thing that you watch and you go, hey, I can do that. Like, you didn't, it wasn't like you just walked into a room like David Blaine and went fire and fire appeared, right? You did the work. That's one of the perks about seeing Joe doing all of his stuff online, is you can go back and watch early episodes of Joe doing his podcast out of his back bedroom with Brian Redband. And they're, they're literally sitting around, you know, in a dark room getting high and with psychedelic lights, you know, on, and they're smoking weed, and Brian's trying to derail the conversation. He keeps bringing up Olive Garden for some reason. I don't know why. But it's just, it's so silly. But it was the beginning, and you get to see the process, and it didn't happen overnight. Nothing was given. Like, it is the process. So anyway, I know I've been talking for about an hour. I'm going to wrap this up. So back to the hotel. I'm just kidding. I know I did that earlier, back to the hotel. I wasn't even planning on talking about the hotel. That became like the tagline of this whole podcast, is me talking about staying in that stupid hotel. Not that the hotel's stupid. The staff there was very nice. Everybody I talked to was very nice. The guy that, you know, they have a valet that parks your car. I was like, that's kind of cool. Very nice. The person at the front desk, very nice. The place is very clean. I don't like wearing a mask. I hate wearing a mask. I'm so sick of this coronavirus. I want it to go away. I went to help my mom today, kind of to beeline this conversation. Let me wrap this up by saying I had a busy day today, okay? I had to encapsulate a thing in my attic because I'm having spray foam insulation put in, and there's a part that the guy can't get to. And he's like, I'll be honest, we're going to have a tough time getting in there. Now, if you want to close that in, that'll make it a lot easier, and I can do this to make sure it's, you know, all taken care of. But this part, you kind of need to take care of. And you know, if not, I can't really cover this part. And I was like, okay. So I made a YouTube video about it. If you guys want to go on Joshua Peak on YouTube and look up spray foam insulation prep, or prepping or something like that, you'll see what I did today. It was really hot in the attic. Whatever temperature it was outside, it was probably 20 or 30 degrees hotter in the attic with no airflow. I put boards up there. I closed in this thing and lost, I don't know how many quarts of water out of my body. In the middle of it, I get a phone call from my mom. Apparently a tree fell on their fence out of the backyard and she needs help getting it down. My stepdad's out there. He's in his 60s and he's having some heart issues. And so I was like, yeah, I'll be over there just as soon as I can. I'm kind of knee deep in insulation right now. And as soon as I could wrap it up and finish, I finished my video. I didn't even change clothes. I just grabbed a giant bottle of water and took off out the door, went and helped him. We worked for a few hours, got everything cleaned up, and, you know, back to serviceable range of what needed to be done. I'll put a photo of the truckload of crap that we had, the tree in the back of the pickup truck we took to a burn pile. I'll put that on Instagram. You can check it out on JTATPEEK. See the photo there. But yeah, so did all that. Yay. And was able to go over and visit some friends that had the pool and got to go swimming a little bit and cool off a little bit. But I was really tired. So I didn't stay there maybe an hour. And then came home, took a shower, and went to sleep and slept for several hours. Now I feel better. Now I feel like a human again. So maybe that's why I'm talking so much. So anyway, that's that. Just wanted to share with you guys. Hope everybody's doing well. Thank you for listening and being a part of the podcast. Thank you for telling me that you like it. I appreciate that. That goes a long way. There's a lot of times where I go, why am I even doing this? And then I'll get somebody walk by that maybe I don't know listens. And they're like, "Hey man, digging the podcast." And I'm like, "Cool. Thank you. I need to hear that kind of stuff. I mean, it's nice to hear that you matter." So, thank you. I don't know what all I said in this podcast. If I was insulting to anybody, I apologize. I'm learning. I'm figuring this stuff out. I'm just trying to make content for you guys. And this is sort of my therapy. Instead of me paying somebody to go to a therapist's office and sit down and tell them about all the crap in my head, I can just tell you guys, right? I mean, we're friends, right? Hopefully I make it entertaining and uplifting in some way. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. So hopefully this helps somebody, you, me, somebody. Be part of the community. Reach out to me. Let me know if you want to be on the podcast. You've heard me have my friends on plenty of times. I'll have on anybody. Well, we can talk. So yeah, Halston, call me or whatever. I want to talk. I need some info, dude. All right, that's it. I'm going to wrap this up. Thanks for listening. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, share with your friends. And I always finish this by saying, cue the cow.